Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, now this, we're talking on the subject of the reality of redemption, and specifically we're in this area called redeemed from poverty. Redeemed from poverty. Now, redeemed means to be brought out of. We're redeemed from something and we're redeemed to something. So we're brought out of poverty, and we saw over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, how the Lord Jesus Christ, who was rich, for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And we said that word rich there means abundant supply. That God's plan for us is to be rich and to have an abundant supply. It said in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God's plan for us is to be prosperous and in good health. God's plan was not for us to be healed. God's plan for us was to be in health. Now, healing came as a result of bad health. But God's plan for us is to live in divine health all the time. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what we said last time, we said there are two tenses in the verb in the Hebrew, one having to do with causative and the other permissive. Causative means God causes something to happen. Permissive means that God permits something to happen. And I showed you a couple of places. Maybe you better turn back to one of those places now. Let's go back to Isaiah, if you will, in Isaiah. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. I said 43, make it 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Look what it says here in verse 7. I form the light. Well, let's start at verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 7 says, for I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now notice what God just said. One, he forms light. Then he said he creates darkness. And I said that is not to be translated into the English, create darkness. I allow darkness. I know that's what it says because if you put your hand right there and look with me at 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1, please hurry. 1 John chapter 1, see, it's most important that you get an understanding of what God is saying in the scriptures, because if you don't, you misunderstand it, and what you believe you will receive. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? Light. And in him, come on, there's no darkness at all. God cannot give darkness because he doesn't have darkness. But he can allow darkness. Now, if you take darkness over to the Greek, you'll see darkness means ignorance. He will allow you to be ignorant if that's where you want to be. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 45 again. And he says this, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, for that one, I want you to go to Amos. Amos. Look in your table of contents. Don't be flipping them pages. Amos. And chapter 3, please. Amos. Now, you might want to get yourself some tab. Somebody say tab 3 times. All right. The Bible says, Amos chapter 3, and look at verse 6. Have you got it? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? Makes it look like the Lord is doing it, doesn't it? Well, if the Lord is doing the evil, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be ye imitators of him. So that means he wants you to imitate him. And if he does evil, what are you supposed to do? Evil. Do you think that's right? No, you do evil, you get yourself out here by yourself. Because God does not do evil. It allows it. He allows evil. But we're finding out that God will allow what you'll allow. Let's go to 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. Now, I'm just led to cover these two because some people are coming in here, you're new, and you don't have the advantage of some of the other teachings except you get the tapes. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. Now, I'm saying that there are two verb tenses in the Hebrew. One is causative, the other is permissive. And when you go back and you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, God will cause these sicknesses to come upon you. That is not a good translation. I've gone to countries and I've spoken before, and I've said something, and I'd have an interpreter there interpreting for me, even in the Spanish-speaking countries. And the interpreter, I'd say something, the interpreter would say, and I'd say, what's wrong? Tell him what I said. He said, Pastor, there is no way to say that in Spanish. I've gone to Africa, there's no way to say that. Up by Botswana in Africa, there's no word for divorce, so they don't have any. No, I have none. Folks, words are very, very powerful because they form images. They form pictures. And they're designed to do that. So you communicate by pictures, not by, you use words, but words form pictures. That's why you say, well, wait a minute, tell me that again because I don't understand. And then they tell you and then they explain it and then you say, oh, I get it now. And the first thing you say is, oh, I see. All right, look what it said in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Oh, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's go back to 16, pardon me. Okay. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord did what to him? It troubled him. Now, what caused Saul to have the Spirit to depart from him? His disobedience. Now, who did God place the Spirit on after Saul? David. Well, the spirit departed from Saul. And an evil spirit, what? From the Lord. See, it makes it look like the Lord did it. But the Lord allowed it. And when Saul was void, no longer had that spirit filling him, the spirit of the Lord, then there was a vacancy. And who do you think came to fill it? The devil. Saul got tormented. Saul had to get some of that good music, sister, just put out here. Praise the Lord. To drive them demons out of here. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, my point is that you come back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this has got to be taught. Because if this is not taught, your image inside that you still have of God is still wrong. And that's why people get in it. Well, you know what God did to Job. God didn't do anything to Job. Just like God didn't do anything to Adam. I mean, let me ask you a question. Did Adam sin in the garden? Yes. Did God tell him, don't eat the fruit? Yes. Did Adam eat it? Yes. Did God come in there and knock the fruit out of his hand? Get. Did God permit Adam to sin? Yes. And he'll permit you to be sick. And he'll permit you to be broke for as long as you're in this earth. You better hear what I'm saying so you'll stop adding something religious to the things of God. God has made a plan and has gotten a way for us to be able to avoid poverty, lack, and anything in it. And he has done it through his word. However, if you have not learned the plan of God and how to appropriate his plan in your life, you will be under the curse of poverty. And that's all it is to it. And it's no struggle, folks. It's not a struggle that, I sure hope I can make some money. So that is you, and that is not the way God does it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, as I walk through here, you're going to see that Satan had deceived us. There's no sense in the church being as broke as it's been. Now, look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Have you got it? Verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken, thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments which I and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall be in the field, cursed shall be in the basket in the store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou go in, cursed shall thou be when thou go out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing and vexation. See what it said? The Lord shall send. It makes it look like the Lord's going to do that. But the point of it is, he's not going to do it. Now here's the deal. If you don't know how to walk in line with God's plan, then the outcome of that will be the fact that you'll operate under the curse. The curse is out here, folks. The curse is out here. It didn't start here when you acted up. The curse started when Adam and Eve acted up. And because it's out here, things happen because the curse is out here to consume life. Now, what happens when you get redeemed, when you come to Jesus and give him your life, Jesus puts an umbrella over your head while it's raining on everybody else. You are protected. You got what I'm saying? Now, understand that people are trying to blame everything and talk about God and God so forth, and this is why God is doing that, and the reason why we poor is because we black. They ain't got nothing to do with your poverty. You mean by you poor because you're a fool? No. What I'm saying is that's a foolish statement, meaning that you shouldn't have said that. All right, now, I didn't. You know what I meant, don't you? All right, praise God. Forgive me, Lord. Amen. All right, now let's look at this. The enemy, Satan, comes to enslave people. Because of Adam's transgression, then Satan, through fallen man, set up a system. And the system is predominant in three major areas: political, religious, and economic. Now, you've seen the religious system during the times of Jesus and how the people could not get free. If they said one time, the religious leader said, if anybody comes in here saying that this man is the Christ, then kick him out of the synagogue. Excommunicate him. See? And they made people legalistic and made it so that they couldn't get free of condemnation. And condemnation is a disease of the spirit. It makes it so you can't hold the promises of God. If I put something in your arms and it's too heavy for you, you can't hold it. Well, if I put a promise on you and your spirit is infirm, you can't hold it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth is going to make you free. It's going to make you straighten your back up and take everything back that the devil had stolen. political system. I know you know the Roman government and how the children of Israel were under that system, and they'd set up their own political groups and so forth and so on. But economic is what I want to get to, because that's the key piece. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. Redeemed from poverty. Poverty is not a blessing, it is a curse. And everything that's close to poverty. I told people, I'm far from broke. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. And I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be what? Blessed. All right. Let's look at what he did with Abram now. He is bringing Abram off the systems of the world. Now, in Revelations, it mentions Mystery Babylon. Has anybody ever heard of that term before? All right, I see a whole lot of people haven't. Well, you can go over to the scriptures and Revelation chapter probably from 17 on. It'll talk about Mystery Babylon. All right, what is Babylon? Babylon, we give the name to it because it came from Babylon. Babylon is the same place. Remember, the people built a tower called the Tower of Babel. Okay? And that was in Babylon. Babylon has reference to a system that is demonic. And Satan uses humankind because they are fallen and uses their fallen nature to express his system. Boy, y'all better stay with me because I'm going to preach here today. So he uses them to express his system. Now, that system is not from God. Hold something right there. And look at Revelation chapter 12, please. Now, just flip back there, Revelation chapter 12. You know where Revelation is. Just flip to chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to help you today. Say, help me, Holy Ghost. All right, look what it says in Revelation chapter 12, and look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. They let you know who the dragon is. That old who? Serpent. Called who? The devil, keep going, and Satan. See, they don't want you to have any. All right. Which deceiveth how much of the world? How much of the world? Okay. The whole world is deceived. If you say you're not deceived, you are deceived. Praise the Lord. I wanted to say something else, but the Lord wouldn't let me say it. Okay. Now, look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. That's in the New Testament. John chapter 17. I know you got to flip into some scriptures, but I want to bring you into a truth, because somebody in here doesn't know they're deceived. The system that you've been taught in is Mystery Babylon. Now, the enemy, listen, he's wise enough. He controls it. Look what it says in John, you got it? Chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word. Now, this is Jesus talking. How do I know it's Jesus? It's in the red. And the world has hated them because what? They are not of the world. Even, come on, as I'm not of the world. Once you are born again, you are born from above. You are born in the world, but you're not of the world. Now watch this, because God, because of the new birth, he's got a new economic system. I want you to hear this, because the one you're on is going down. God knows it. The thing about it is the devil knows it. He's just been trying to prop it up. But it's got to go down. The reason why is because it's corrupt. Look what it says, verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from where? Evil. So God is not, Jesus didn't pray that you'd be taken up out of here. He didn't pray that you'd be taken up out of here. He prayed that you be kept from the evil that's in here. The evil system that's been set up, he prayed that you be kept above it. And you can operate above it. Now, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to leave Satan's system. You're going to have to follow Abraham and come out of there. That means come out from doing it the world's way. The Bible says the world loves its own. The moment the little pressure's run on us, we run down to the money store. That's all Satan's system. God said, I got a better way for you. Now, all you have to do is listen to me today. I'm telling you, you ain't got to do a whole lot of thinking. Just listen. All right? Because our thought patterns have been formed by a system that programmed us to stay in the system. That's why he set up the payday store. He didn't name it Harvest Store. He named it Payday Store. Because he wanted to name it after your day. See, you looking for payday. You ain't looking for the harvest. Now, listen at that. Listen. The enemy comes to enslave. God comes to empower. They don't teach you nothing about how to own your own business while you're coming up in grade school and high school. They don't teach you that. The system won't let them teach you that. No, it won't teach you that because you'll be empowered. They're not out to get you to own it. They're out to get you to go to a job. Are you following what I'm saying? They're preparing you for a job, man. They ain't preparing you to own nothing. That's why you got all these people with a job. Because that's what they've been programmed to do. Now, come on back over to Genesis. Y'all looking at me like a cow with a new gate. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12. Empower, folks. Empower. Empowerment. It means to give you an ability of self-sufficiency. Empower. Empower. Make it so that you have something to say about your own destiny. Satan wants to take that away and deceive you in thinking you're free, but you just busy straightening up chairs on the Titanic. You ain't free. The thing's going down. All right? Now, yeah. Give you, well, I ain't gonna go into it. All right. Now, so Abram, come out of that system. Come out of the fallen economic model that has only been there because of the fallen nature of mankind. Into a place I'm gonna show you. Because the place that I'm gonna show you operates by revelation. And it runs by faith. So it's not how hard you work, it's how much you can believe. You better get it. You better grab hold to it. Folks, There have been people coming here, one man in particular, and he came in and shared that he has his business, making $30,000 a month, and he said that he had come out of prison, so forth and so on, but he had got hold of the teaching. He said, but the thing of it is, he couldn't read or write. Now, we're putting him in our literacy class now. But now, he's now starting a chain of restaurants. Now, wait a minute. You say, what? Now, how's he doing that? And I got this and that and all that. And I'm not doing that. Because as a man thinketh, and what Satan does is program your thinking that every time this situation comes up, there is a certain thought pattern that your mind absolutely takes, and it won't take another route because that is a stronghold. And the stronghold is in your mind, and it's not God trying to make you go broke. It's Satan programming. There ain't no demon messing with you, because the demons are messing with somebody else. They have just programmed you so that you won't leave the chicken yard. Even taught you how to think. God says your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And see, what he is saying is, come on up here. You're thinking like the fallen man. Come on, think like this. And I told you, I meditated those scriptures, and God said, my people are talking about $50,000 in the bank, and I want them to have $50 million in the bank. Now, right there, that doesn't say much to you, because you'd have shouted. Because, see, that, Lord have mercy. The first thing Satan did was try to either deceive you or distort you. He tried to make you think that you wasn't worth what God said you were worth. You ain't worth money because money came by you. You had to be bought with the blood of Christ, and that was the only thing that had the value enough to buy you, man. It was never meant that you have an education without revelation. Never meant. That enemy took people and he slid them off revelation and put pure intellect in their minds. And when he did that, he had them. Because that system is a Titanic and it is going down just as sure as you have come in here and sitting in here today. It cannot stand. And Jesus warned us. He said, there are two men. One of them was a wise man. He built his house by digging deep and put it on a rock. Revelation. But there was another one who was a foolish man. And he built his house on sand. Sand represents the world system. And when the flood came, glory to God, you know what happened to the house. Now that's all I'm saying. It was never meant. It was never meant. In about 19, and I'll get all the verification for this, in about 1915 or so, Booker T. Washington was down, and he had Tuskegee Institute at that time. And it has been documented that at that time, Tuskegee put out more millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton combined. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't a man. It was what he was teaching. is what he was teaching. He was teaching a new model. He was teaching one that included Christ. And the devil don't want to teach you that, because if he teach you that, you'll take him over. That's why the scripture says stick around, because the last are going to be first. That's why I said that. Can we keep going? Y'all don't mind if I tell the truth, do you? Somebody got to tell this. All right, let's keep going. Let's look at Genesis. And Genesis chapter 13 now. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was what? Very rich. Let me ask you, did he earn that wealth? Nope. Got it? Now I want you to see this, because you're not working for a living. That's the old system. That's the old system. That's why you're getting 3 and 4 jobs trying to make ends meet. And they're still not meeting. And the reason why they're not meeting, because Satan planted that way. He wants you to work until you can't hardly see. Come on now. Because what he's doing is getting the blessing off your hand. That's all I'm going to say about that. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Folks, we're coming into a revelation that if people in those systems don't change their model and their way of doing things, it's going to obsolete them. Because the system that's presently out here is about to be judged. And the reason why, I'm not talking about the wrath of God, I'm saying that the things that happen is when you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. That's a law that's out here. That's a law that's out here. Lord, have mercy. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 14. Don't be getting mad at me, because that ain't going to help you to get mad at me. I said that's not going to help you to get mad at me. I don't care how much you pay. I'm not down in education, but I'm telling you what happened is people took God out of the education. And when you took him out, you took out revelation. You can't do that. That system that there is running under its own strength and power because Satan put it in place, but it's running out. It's running out, folks. It's look, I mean, you can see everything. It's running out. They don't have enough pension. Now think about it. Is Bill Gates concerned about his pension? Why? Because he got money. And I'm telling you, if you get money, you ain't concerned about no pension. The only reason you're concerned about it is because you broke. It was never meant for you to be around here worrying about a pension. Was Abraham concerned about his pension? Well, I wonder, Lord have mercy. Oh, they messing with my pension now. Come on now. As long as you're pension minded, you're not abundance minded. You can't serve two masters. Make up your mind that pension ain't your source. What your source is God. Say amen to that. Y'all got me. I'm trying to finish this here. Pension. And I saw something with one of the major airlines. If I call the name of it, you'll know it. One of the major airlines talking about they're running short of capital. And so, therefore, they're deciding now whether or not they're going to take pillows off the overseas flights. folks to go anywhere overseas, it takes 7 hours. And they gonna feel like they're running out of money, so they ain't gonna give you no pillow no more. That is called shortage mentality. I can guarantee you, while they're taking your pillow, somebody's still getting rich. Because that's the way the system works. It's trying to keep you enslaved and trying to keep them with plenty. And what we got to do, folks, is we got to wake up. I'm not talking about try to get our own pillows. Get our own airline. All right. Verse 23, that I will not take a thread, even the suit latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. All right. Now notice what he wants. He does not want anybody to say they made you rich. He's the only one that wants to make you rich. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Let's keep going. Let's go over now to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Now, in Exodus chapter 1, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of interesting. Now, what am I telling you? That if you don't know how to walk in line with God's plan, that the result of that, the outcome, will be poverty. But if you do know how to walk in line with God's plan, the outcome will be riches, abundance. And it will be abundance without sweat. Sweat came with the curse. All right, let's look at this. My people are destroyed, he said, for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
All right. Verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Now, what was Joseph? Joseph was used by God to run one of the most powerful economies in the world has ever known. Now, understand what God did. He linked Joseph back to Abraham, because that's what Abraham ran. That's why he could profit in a time of famine. He linked Abram back to Job. Job, chronologically, was before Abram. And he linked Job back to Adam. See, he ran the same kind of economy. And that economy is not subject to what vacillates in this world system. It's not even subject to it. It'll increase anytime. Doesn't make any difference. And the profits are extraordinary. I hope I'm talking to the right bunch. Well, look what it says. Now, I'm your preacher. How shall you hear without a preacher? God has got your prosperity in my mouth if you'll listen to it. You will never be broke another day in your life, and I'm going to make sure of it. I told my wife, I said, baby, I'm going to do what I can to get God's people out of this lack, poverty, debt, and all this stuff. I'm going to give them the truth whether they want it or not. They might talk about me, they might run me down, but I'm going to tell them the buck-naked truth. I'm going to tell them everything that's in there and every system that's deceiving them. I'm going to let them know it. Because I'm tired of what's going on. I'm tired because we've been misled by some political opportunist that tell you the reason why you poor is because you black. Listen, that might have been used when you didn't know Jesus, but it can't be used now. Because if God be for you, whether you black, white, or polka dot, you gonna prosper. And it don't make no difference. Look what it says here. Verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. And there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Praise God. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to do what to them? Afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh what? Treasured cities. Now, this is what the man asked. Where did they get the treasure from for the treasured cities? It came from them Jews. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham was on them. What was the blessing of Abraham? It was a tangible blessing, not something spiritual or ethereal. It was something tangible that you can feel it, touch it, taste it, and smell it. It was a blessing to get gold, silver, and cattle or land. Now, I'm here to tell you, God had that blessing on them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 25 that God passed all, Abram passed all, Abraham passed all that he had on to Isaac. Now, as you know, Sarah died, and Abram married this woman. Abraham married Keturah. You remember that? How old was he when he married Keturah? How old was he when he married Keturah? Anybody remember that? He was about 120, 125, something like that. How can you imagine marrying? And then he went on to have six kids. The brother was. He was a shown-up player. I mean, he knew what he would do. I mean, God had, you follow what I'm saying? But once he went on to be with the Lord, gave up the ghost, he blessed Isaac with all that he had, and then he gave some to Keturah's kids. Somebody said $1 million apiece and sent them to y'all gone. But he gave the blessing to who? Isaac. Now, Isaac then passed on the blessing to who? Jacob. See? Now, each one of them are passing on their inheritance to this next one. But the next one also, because they have the blessing, are gaining their own inheritance. So they're doubling what the previous one had. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
With blessed Abraham.
That
the blessing of Abraham will come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ. So you got a blessing to get gold, silver, and raiment. Now notice the children of Israel, they went down. Lord have mercy. Children of Israel went down there. And notice what they did. The Jews scammed them. I mean, the Egyptians scammed them. Now, when I say that, I mean this. Now, look what it said. Now, you can read it yourself. It says in verse 10, come on, verse 10, let us deal wisely with them. That means we're going to strategize against them now. Lest they multiply and come to pass. Now, the Jews, look at verse 7. It says the children of Israel were fruitful. Watch this. Increased how much? Abundant. They owned everything. Now the Egyptians said, wait a minute, we got to scam them. So what this guy who studied the commentary said, they came up with something called scarab beetle. Now these were wooden coins that they used as money. And so the Jews came down with gold. But the Egyptians set up a central bank, said, okay, if you want some scarab beetle, have to go to the central bank and trade your gold in for what? That scarab beetle, wooden coin. So they traded in, and they were trading with scarab beetle, but one day, after the system saw that it had all their gold, they went in to buy something with scarab beetle, and they said, what is that? I said, well, I'm coming to buy something. I said, wood? We're not going to take no more wood. We're not taking wood. Gold is money.
Amen. Say it again.
Watch this. See this money clip? What is that paper made out of? Made from wood. Come on, you're gonna get it in a minute. This paper money used to say on it that it was a certificate that you can go out, go in and claim that amount of gold. Guess what? They voted to take that off. Guess what? They had gold back in every one of these dollars, but now they voted not to have gold to back any of it. They removed the gold and left you with the scarab beetle. Come on, come on now. Come on, come on, come on! Folks, they even came up with something called the euro, thinking that that was going to reign over the dollar. That thing is even falling because every paper system will crumble because it's not money. Gold is money. Silver is money. But they took the gold and silver out of your coins. Now, don't look at the people because they ain't smart enough to do that. It's the devil who has a stronghold in their mind. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 5 and we're out. Y'all looking serious at me now. Oh, Lord, what I got in my pocket. Well, just hope it lasts a few more days while we pray to the Lord, till we get ourselves together. No. It's no backing anymore. There's nothing back of it. Somebody said a man came and asked, how much gold we got in Fort Knox? He said, well, we don't have any there now. He said, double the guard. Anyway, so I'm here to tell you, very interesting what's going on. Now, some of the people who know about gold, they got gold. Their portfolios are carrying gold pieces. Gold has never lost its value. You can buy the same suit with an ounce of gold today as you could back 40, 50 years ago. Never moved. This stuff has lost its value. Well, I used to be able to get me a good suit for $50. I can't get one for $50 now. It's not that the 50 went down. It's inflation. What was worth, you know, I used to be able to buy a soda pop for 6 cents and then take the bottle back and get 3 cents back. But you can't do it now. Poverty is a curse. And anybody that took a poverty vow, do not listen to them. All right, now let me just cover this and I'm out. Now Moses is coming down here to get these people out. Let my people go. All right, now look at this. Verse 6, and Pharaoh commanded the same day for the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as they're heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make thereof, tale means the number of bricks, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. In other words, you let them make the same quota and give them twice as much to do. For they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So because Moses came down and Moses said, listen, let them go, Pharaoh said, no, I'm going to double the work that they're going to have to do. Because you came down here trying to bother my people. Now understand, he had enslaved the people. He had taken away all ownership. Didn't own nothing. That's the first sign of enslavement. A lack of entrepreneurship. And when that goes away, then now the corporate system, the bureaucracy, it takes over. Pharaoh's, because he had political clout, but he didn't have no money. And Joseph was the one that got the money for him. All right? But here's what I want to show you. Now, Moses came to get them loose. Because they couldn't get loose themselves. And the reason why I know that is because of verse 11. Pharaoh said to them, "Go ye and get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." In other words, well, I'm not going to lighten your load. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They were what? Scattered abroad. Throughout where? All the land of Egypt. Now you know, if a person in their right mind and they are under hard bondage and they get 40 miles from the house, they gone. Am I right about it? But did they leave? Nope. And you can't leave unless you make up your mind. Come on now. That, hey, wait a second. God has given me freedom. And there is not a system that is supposed to hold me, because whomever the Son sets free can be free indeed. Jesus is your deliverer, and the first sign to your freedom is that you got saved. And when you got saved, no longer can poverty hold you. You can now excel supernaturally, but you must maintain integrity. One more place. Turn to Psalms 26. Boy, I'm messing with you now, aren't I? Psalms 26, praise God. Woo, glory to God. Hey. Psalms 26, praise the Lord. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Look at Psalms 26. Let me know when you get there. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my what? Integrity. I have trusted also in who? The Lord. Therefore, I shall not what? Slide. Slide which way? Back. You see, God can deliver you, but the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, don't turn that, please. Let me just read it. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? In other words, when Moses delivered them, they came through the Red Sea and got on the other side, and who was after them? Pharaoh. And when you get out of bondage, who you think gonna be after you? I'm telling you, folks, it's them spirits, and they come to bring you right back into the same debt you was in before you got delivered from debt. Now, what I'm saying is integrity. You have to realize that, wait a minute, God is on my side. And I have got to maintain my integrity, because lack of financial integrity makes access into the promised land impossible. Lack of financial integrity makes access into the promised land impossible. The Bible says that through integrity, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says, your children are blessed. The Bible says through integrity, Proverbs chapter 11 verse 3, it says you can always expect guidance from God. Look at verse 21 in chapter 25. It says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. So you can be preserved merely by walking in honesty and walking in integrity. That means you're not looking for a bribe, and you're not looking to bribe nobody. That means that you're not going to embezzle nobody. You're not going to cheat nobody. You're not going to gamble this stuff away. Malachi chapter 3, come on real quick. Malachi chapter 3, that's just before Matthew. Hallelujah, I'm preaching good now. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, I love this stuff. I'm telling you, if you listen to Bill Winston, starting today, you'll never be broke another day in your life, and you won't have to struggle to get rich. You're going to get rich because God's going to make Thank you, Lord. Last place. Verse 8 of Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? You can't rob God of his tithe and get into Canaan. Won't happen. In this ministry, if a person is not a tither, they're not a member. Because I saw what happened to Achan when God led his people into the promised land and they took Jericho. But next thing that happened, God said, don't take any of that treasure and keep it for yourself. Bring it all to the temple. That was called the first fruit or the tithe. So what happened? A man named Achan, he gonna be smarter than God. He took some of it, put it in his tent, and they went to fight the next battle. Guess what happened? They lost. Why? Because the tithe releases supernatural ability. There are people that somehow get prayed for in church, but they couldn't get healed. And I believe one of the reasons why is because there was an Achan in the house. So what did I say? Father, what shall I do? He said, not a tither, not a member. Oh, we can come. We can go. Wait. We can come and hear the word. I welcome anybody. But I'm talking about in this house. I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything. That's not that. You don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Oh, you under the law. No, I ain't. It's about a law. And the law is trying to lose some supernatural power. So when you bring your cousin in here that's full of drugs, we can pray over him one time and God will get him delivered. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise for it. Jesus. Scarab beetle. We're going to get some gold now. All right, take a seat. Now, I'm running behind time, so I'm going to call you one time. I'm going to call you one time, and I want you to do something. Make up your mind right now. When Pastor calls me, I'm coming. Now, just do that, and then we don't have to play no games. If you're here today, now, I'm not asking you to join this church, but if you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to pray for you to be born again. Now, in my life, years ago, I had a situation in my life where I thought I was saved, but I knew about God, but I really didn't know God. So what am I asking you to do? If you know today that you need to be born again, I'm asking you to do something. Come on, let me pray for you right now. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here to the altar right now. And let me pray for you. Come on, just like you are. Come on, just like you are. Come on, brother. Come on, just like, come on. Come on, whoever it is, get up out of your chair. Come on up here and join me right now. Don't have me call you more than once. You know who you are. Come on, just like you are. Now you better come on, because this may be the last call you will ever hear in your life. Come on, while they're coming, there are some others that need to come. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Whoever that is, need to come. Come on, just like you are. Praise God. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. I got a door open for you. Praise God. All right. Let me make this call. Is there anybody else in here that you're backsliding? Meaning you were saved one time, but now you're living like you never saved in your life. You don't want to die like that. You don't want to die like that. So if you're here and you know that's you, come on up here. Whoever that is, I'm going to give it one more chance. Now, don't let the devil make a trophy out of you. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, just like you are. Don't be ashamed of it. Come just like you are. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm waiting for you. Praise God. All right. That's the second call. Third call, is anybody else? Now, these are people here. The third call is for people who, for some reason, they resisted the first call, first, second call, because they thought they could still hide. Well, you can't hide from the devil. He knows who you are because he's talking you into staying there. And the next thing, if you go outside of these doors and something happened to your life, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn forever. And you're going to hear my voice playing in your ear, just like a recording saying, come, please come. Won't you come? Please come. Now, that's you. And you might be that bunch that just think they're cute. You think you're too cute. And you think you got too much education to come up in front of all these people. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Cute people burn, and educated folk burn just like anybody else. Your education can't save you. Your looks can't save you. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and join me right now. I'm talking to you, and I'm asking you to get up out of your chair and come on up here. All right. Those who came, lift your right hand up to heaven. Repeat this prayer after me, please. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now watch this. If you said that prayer, Jesus said this. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. When you're sitting there saying that prayer and not wanting to come up here, you're denying Jesus. Now, I'm asking you to do something. Whoever said that prayer and you sat in your chair, I'm asking you now to do something. Get up out of your chair and come on up here in this aisle right now and join these people. All right. Okay. There was somebody else. Now, you sat there. I'm going to tell you something. Your life is in your own hands.